Shall I feel? Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. We were just telling Brother Teddy, we were saying, you know, I just want you to know that the later service is kind of thin until halfway through, and you're making us a liar already. Why don't you all stand to your feet? How many of you are ready to worship Jesus? We just came off the uproar. Glory to God. Who was that uproar this week? Wow, was it amazing. Glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. And today, God, we thank you that you're going to move by your power. You're going to change our lives. Your word is going to come alive in us. God, you're going to move in us, heal us, set us free in Jesus' name. God, we just declare that your presence has freedom in this house. Do whatever you want, Spirit of God, for this is the house of the Lord. We give you all the glory, the praise, and the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, I said, everybody said, let's worship the Lord together.
come on and praise the Lord. Sing hallelujah. 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 Everybody, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, sing unto the Lord. Just sing unto the Lord. I feel like saying, I'm gonna clap a little louder than before. I'm gonna sing a little louder than before. I'm gonna jump higher than before. Somebody shout a little louder than before. Somebody shout a little louder than before. Come on. Clap those hands today. one more time, say freedom. Shackles, no more chains, no more bondage. I am free. Is that your story today? Come on, would you lift those hands and say it? Come on. No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage. I am free. All right. One more time. No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage. I'm free. If you know it today, come on, shout hallelujah. Let's go. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lift up a shout of praise. Bible says in the book of Psalms, I believe chapter 2, he said, I will give you the nations for your inheritance. Somebody declare, my nation belongs to Jesus. Say it again, my nation belongs to Jesus. So we taught them this at Uproar this year. I want you to declare it right where you are. And I want you to repeat after me as we sing this by faith. It goes like this, real easy. I know my nation belongs to Jesus. Yeah, I know my nation belongs to Jesus. You sound good. Come on. I know my nation belongs to Jesus. Hey, I know my nation belongs to Jesus. Say it again. I know my nation belongs to Jesus. Say it like this. My generation belongs to Jesus. My generation belongs to Jesus. Oh, my generation belongs to Jesus. Come on. My generation belongs to Jesus. Shout freedom. Bible said, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. You know what that means? That their freedom is not up for interpretation. When he said he's free indeed, it means nobody can look at him and say, well, they say he's free, but we still really know he's gussed up. No, 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 no. The Bible said if the Son sets you free, anybody who looks at you has to declare, truly, he is. Hey. It's not up for debate. It's not up for discussion. It's not up for interpretation. I'm not bound. I am free. Ha ha ha! You know why we're free today? Because of the blood of Jesus. I said because of the blood of Jesus. That's why we can say, oh, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of. Sing it out. Hey, what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, no other fountain, oh, nothing but the blood of. Come on, sing it again. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, no other fountain, oh, nothing but the blood. Oh, this is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Come on, sing. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Say, nothing but the blood. Say that. Nothing but the blood. Come on. Come on. Sing nothing but the blood. Just that. Nothing but the. Yeah. Come on, come on. All right. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but. Play that. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Some people say, well, why is he stressing that point? Because when you get healed of whatever sickness was on your body, my Bible still said our God is a jealous God. That means he wants all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. That's why I don't stand up here and say, well, thank God that God made the doctors available to me. After 17 months of chemotherapy, we give God praise that the cancer's in remission. No. Because who gets the glory? God or the poison they shot in your body? My God's a jealous God. Wants all the glory. So when I say nothing but the blood, I'm telling you, it didn't take a medication to get me healed. It didn't take 21 days of counseling from a psychiatrist to bring me peace in my mind. It didn't take 3 sessions at Alcoholics Anonymous so I could get another button to get free from something I used to have. Nothing but the blood. Do you think that your God, who created the world in 6 days, needs the help and assistance of some pharmacist's pill in an orange bottle with a white cap to bring you into freedom? When Jesus shed his blood on Calvary's cross, I came to tell you this morning, you'll be free by nothing but. That's why we say, nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood. Come on, nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious, is the blood. Power, power, wonder working power in the blood. Come on, say it. Of the limb, there is power. Y'all sound good. Come on. There is power. Of the limb, there is power. The precious blood. One more time, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. In the precious blood of the Lamb. In the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you lift up a shout? Hey! I feel the anointing in here today. And then I remember we used to get done with that and we'd sing, oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Yes, it washes white as snow. If you know that this morning, come on, declare it. We're singing, oh, the blood of Jesus. Somebody sing, there's healing in the blood.
There is healing in the blood of Jesus. There is healing in the blood of Jesus. Healing in the blood of Jesus. Hey, it washes. Declare there's deliverance.
There's deliverance in the blood of Jesus. Deliverance in the blood of Jesus. Deliverance in the blood of Jesus. Oh, it washes.
Come on, as Pastor comes, one more time. We're singing,
oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Yes, it washes white.
Time. There is power in the blood. There is power. For it washes white. It washes white as snow. It washes white as, yes, it does today. It washes white as snow.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Come on, give God a shout this morning. Hallelujah! Is that all you have for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Give him more. Give him everything you got inside. Give God a shout. I don't know about you. I thank God for the blood. Amen. How many of you are blood-washed, born-again, spirit-filled Christians? I am unashamed of the gospel of Christ. I thank God I'm a tongue-talking Christian. I thank God we believe it's always God's will to heal. I thank God, God wants you to prosper and be in good health. You see, we cannot shudder back or shun back from the gospel of Christ. The blood of Jesus paid for it all, and it wasn't cheap. So don't give one blessing of God back. Can I hear an amen? On your way back to your chair, make sure you turn to five folk you don't know and say, I'm giving nothing back. I'm taking it all. Don't go sit down. Go find somebody you don't know. Don't be a snob now. Find somebody. Find somebody. Get out of your chair. Come on now, if you're sitting down, just reach over and say, well, good morning. You just look marvelous. We have a whole group from Houston, Texas. Make sure you say hello to the Houston, Texas folk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Too many of you are sitting down. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Turn around and say hello to somebody behind you. Say hi to somebody. You got 15 seconds to be friendly.
Hey, Histab family, we got some awesome things coming up. This week, we're going to be at the Chemung County Fairgrounds representing His Tabernacle. We'll have a booth set up there. If you want to help us reach our community, reach out to Pastor Chad at outreach@histabernacle.com and sign up today. Hey, something else we have coming up is our annual family picnic that's going to be at Harris Hill Youth Camp. It's going to be August 13th, right after church. But we want to make sure that you bring in dish to pass. Make sure it's giganto, like humongous. Supersize it. And bring your games. We want to have fun as a family and fellowship together. And bring frisbees too. We'll see you August 13th at the annual family picnic. Be there.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How y'all doing this morning? All right, so y'all are the 11 a.m. service. Y'all got two more hours of sleep than the rest of us. So I need y'all to give your God a shout of praise, a shout that says, I slept for two more hours. Come on. Amen, amen. Welcome to our 11 a.m. service. If this is your first time here, you are a guest. Can we just see your hand really quickly? Just slip it up. Yes, we have one right here. Anybody else? One in the back? Come on, give it up for our guest. One over here. Please keep your hands lifted up. We have a gift for you. It's free. Yeah. Please, please keep your hands lifted up. I believe we had one over here. We had one right in front of Aaron. Let's get off our guests one more time. We are incredibly excited. You guys will come out and to worship with us. Inside the bag, we have some gifts for you guys. And also, after this service, on this side of the building, we have a guest reception. You can meet our phenomenal pastors and a few other people on staff. We'll love to just get to know you a little bit more. Amen. Come on, get off our guests one more time. Hallelujah. If you're watching on live stream, welcome to our 11 a.m. service. We thank you so much for your faithfulness to come and tune in with us. Just a few more announcements. Women's ministry. If you're late in the house, say, hey. That's weird, Pastor. That's so weird. Awkward. All right. This Friday, Women's Ministry, if you go on their Facebook page, they have an event called Coffee and Canvas, I believe this Friday at 7 p.m. Go on there and sign up, register, private message Julia Redner if you want some more information about that. That's going to be a great time. Amen. As we said, our picnic is coming up next, not this Sunday, the following Sunday, August 13th, after second service at our Harris Hill Youth Camp. You want to bring an extra large, extra large. Don't bring like two bags of chips that come after the ribs, all right? Extra large dish to pass. I just offended somebody. Extra large dish to pass and your own drinks, some games, and let's get ready to have some fun with our body. The ribs. Somebody is bringing Memphis-style ribs in the name of Jesus, and they're going to bring just a pan for each of the pastors on staff. I prophesy in Jesus' name. All right, that's my flesh. All right, also, we have Remnant Bible Institute Bible College starting up soon. Thank you for all my Bible College students. I love you guys. If you don't know, we have a Bible college here at the school. We have morning classes, evening classes, online. We have set it up to be accommodating to your schedule. We have classes starting in 3 weeks, all right? So if you are interested in that, please find me after service. Hunt me down and say the Lord wants me to be in Bible school, and we'll get you set up. Amen? Who enjoyed Uproar Conference this past weekend? Wow. Wow, it was absolutely phenomenal. We're going to have Pastor Cody come up now to talk about that. But as we transition out of Uproar, we're going to be transitioning into Rock the City because the kingdom does not take a break. Amen? Amen. So get ready. You guys want to go and find Pastor Chad to say, how can I help? How can I sow? How can I serve? But we are going to be taking over for the kingdom of God. So we thank God for Uproar, but let's get ready for Rock the City. Amen?
Moment of honesty, I sprinted down the hall because I thought I was going to be late, and I'm way out of breath. I need to run a little bit more. It's not good. But no, Uproar Conference was absolutely out of this world. It was so, so, so crazy good. And if you're a middle school student, sorry, real quick side note, we're not going to have our normal class today because I promise you have a treat with our guest preacher, and you're going to love it in here. But real quick, I'm just going to make Mackenzie come up front, and then we got to talk about her real quick, and I don't like to talk about people behind their back, so we're going to say it to her face. I will. Oh, Terry, she's carrying my baby, so I'm going to make sure she gets up the stairs fine.
No, not like that.
Hey, guys, so Mackenzie's been running Uproar Conference for the last 3 years, and done an amazing job, like crushed it. She's a big reason as to why we are where we are right now. And with her taking the worship pastor role, that was your cue, guys. She's not going to be able to do that anymore, but we just want to celebrate what she's been able to do over the last 3 years, the blessing that she's been, the amazing amount of work that she's done. It's not like we plan for 1 month and then do it. It's literally like 50 weeks of planning, fundraising, events. It's insane. And it's not just me. It's not just her. It's all the teams, all the volunteers, all the money that was sown to make this happen. So if you volunteered, can you shoot your hand into the air for us real quick? Look, some of these people have volunteered all week long. 10-hour days, 12-hour days, 14-hour days. If you sowed into Uproar Conference, will you look around real quick and show what happened because of your hands? So can everyone who either sowed or volunteered stand to their feet? We just want to celebrate you. Honestly, what you were able to do for this region is so life-changing. What you've been able to do for this generation is so impactful. And it happens when a body comes together, ties together, and moves forward. So I can't wait to see what God does through this house at Rock the City, at Uproar next year. That's what I love about all of us coming together and running forward. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm ready for 2018.
Hallelujah. Wow, it was a phenomenal time. And all of our seed sown was awesome seed, and it will bring a harvest. Seed time and harvest shall not pass away. So I know the impact that was made, so we can expect the harvest that's gonna come. Amen. I was the only one excited about that. Well, I'll take it all for myself, and if you're gonna leave your harvest in the field, I'll take yours too. Come on. Okay. Thank you. I got some other people excited about harvest coming. You know, all right, just a second. It is not just about sowing seed. That's where we miss it sometimes. It is not just about sowing seed. Seed time and harvest shall not pass away. When you're putting seed in, you're not looking at the seed. You're looking at the harvest. All right, sorry. Now, in this house, when it comes to finances and everything, we go to the Word of God, not to man and what they've made up. So as we're entering into the time of tithes and offerings, let's go to the Word. Leviticus 27 says, the tithe. Now let me explain what the word tithe means. Tithe actually means 10%. So that number isn't something we drew out of a hat and said, oh, 10% is holy to the Lord. It is what the word tithe means. So in this passage, it says the tithe is holy to the Lord. It belongs to Him. It is not ours. 10% of everything that comes into your household is holy and belongs to the Lord according to the Word of God. And I love God. He just doesn't tell, I'm an explain it to me kind of person. And He doesn't just tell us to tithe. He then explains, and He says in Malachi 3:10, bring the tithe into the storehouse and test me in this and see that I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out blessing and favor and supernatural finance in your life. That's what the Word of God says. And we talked last week in Haggai 1:6, how you drink and you're not satisfied. You're clothed, but yet you're not warm. You earn wages and put them in pockets with holes. And He's talking about in that passage that they had neglected His house. They had not listened and obeyed in the tithe and offering. They had neglected His house, and that's what happens. And you know why that upsets God? It's not because, oh, they're not doing what I said. Psalms 35:27. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of His children. It brings Him great joy when we walk in blessing, when we walk in favor, when we have supernatural finance that chases us down, that causes us to trip up and stop and say, wow, God, You are awesome. That's the God that you serve, and that's what His Word has to say about our finances. So if you're ready to enter into kingdom finances, stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration again from the Word of God. This is the covenant for every son and daughter of God that obeys. And if you'll repeat it after me, in Deuteronomy 28, it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, click on the giving button, give right along with us, or text to give. Thank you.
turns to gold and not to dust. Everywhere that I go, I am blessed. Everywhere that I go, I am blessed. Everywhere that I go, I am blessed. Yes, I am. Everything that I touch turns to gold and not to dust. Everywhere that I go, I am blessed. Everything that I touch turns to gold and not to dust. Everywhere that I go, I am blessed.
Hallelujah. If you're blessed, shout amen. If you want more, shout amen. If you're in the middle of a battle, you're saying, oh my goodness, I don't feel blessed. Let's look at the battle in the eyeballs and say, I'm blessed. Come on, prophesy. I'm blessed. Let me tell you, call those things which are not as though they already are. The word of God is true. Can I hear an amen? We are so blessed. You know, we were talking about Uproar. Uproar, that conference, we had folks come from Canada, Florida. Can I hear Houston in the house this morning? They drove all the way from Houston, Texas to be part of this. Rhode Island, Massachusetts. We had people from all over the Northeast, Pennsylvania. We had people from all over come to to the Uproar. Rock the city, man. We're really fired up about this. This is the first time we've ever done an outreach in Horseheads, New York. And we're not just doing it, we're doing it. Amen. You know one thing I love about His Tabernacles? We never do anything just halfway. Our God has never done anything halfway, so we won't either. Can I hear an amen? And what is a soul worth? I can't wait to see how many people give their hearts to Jesus at Rock the City 2017. It's going to be an exciting time. This morning, we are so overwhelmingly blessed. I've watched Brother Ted Shuttlesworth Jr. He came to our house. His daddy was preaching at His Tabernacle up in Newfield, New York, back in 1991. That's when I met him. He was being homeschooled, just a young man, young tyke. But man, my wife and I have just watched him mature. And I'm not talking age. I'm talking in the last 3 years, if you've been here at His Tabernacle, you've watched the anointing in his life increase every year. The authority increase every year. God has taken him to a new level. And I just want you to know how blessed we are at His Tabernacle to have Brother Ted Shuttlesworth Jr. to preach right here at Horseheads of New York. Come on, give him a welcome this morning. A Horseheads welcome this morning. I know. We need to change the name. We'll just get into that at another time. Brother Ted, if you'll come, let's give Jesus a hand clap.
Let's give Jesus praise. Come on. Praise God. Somebody say it out of your own mouth. Something good is getting ready to happen to me today. Declare it again like you believe it. Something good is getting ready to happen to me today. Why do we make it in the now? We're not waiting till next week, next month, next year. Don't put off until later what God wants to do now. Amen? God has a plan for right now. I believe today you're going to leave with a touch from the Holy Spirit, and God's going to bless you. Amen. We're going to open the Word of God in just 1 minute. I want to make a couple of announcements before we do. It's a blessing to have my family here with me and also a family that works with us in the ministry. And this is Ralph and Jenna Joyner. Would you make them feel welcome? Stand on your feet and let everybody see who you are. And they help us more than anyone would ever realize. But Jenna has been working with us how many years now, would you say? 3 years. And she has been supernaturally gifted by the Holy Spirit to do anything that's been... That's what's great about having the Holy Ghost. He'll gift you to do anything, things you've never even heard of. And the Bible says he's your teacher. And he can teach you to do stuff you never knew how to do. And she's been a living example of that. God's anointed her mind and anointed her abilities to help us take the gospel and push it forward. Can you say amen? Amen. My two nephews are here today, Alex and Jonathan. Would you stand up? All the way from Virginia Beach, Virginia. Both of them single, if anybody's interested. No, Carolyn says they're not single.
They must have gotten girlfriends at Uproar. I don't know what's happening. My wonderful wife, I want her to come today and come up on the... I want you to see the one that helps me, pushes me forward. This is a wonderful Holy Ghost woman. This is a wonderful woman. And I'm telling you, I'm so thankful for my wife. People, we tell it to people and people don't believe us. I heard Pastor talking in the leadership session about visionaries and how they are not normally detail-oriented. I can tell you that is the case with my life, that after we leave here, I have zero idea where I'm headed next. My wife has all the information. There will be days that I'll tell her, where am I headed? She'll like, you're flying out today. Oh, really? Where am I going? And sometimes I think she books these trips just to get me out of the house. But anyway, no, I'm kidding. And she'll say, flight's at this time. You got a rental car. This is the city you're going to. You're preaching these dates. Now go get them. And it's wonderful to have somebody that has it all together. Amen. And she's anointed by the power of the Holy Ghost. We're making these announcements. We've been working together to build the faith of those that are connected with our ministry. And that's why I wanted her to just come for a moment. But my wife is doing such a phenomenal job in these magazines. If you don't get our magazine, it's absolutely free, Miracle Word Magazine, and we send it out quarterly. And my wife's been writing awesome articles for the ladies. I mean, faith-building instruction from the Word of God. And we have people that write us and tell us how much they enjoy when these come in the mail, because our purpose in our heart is to build your faith and to put you at a place where you can believe God for miracles in your life. And I wanted to just share just a little bit about what's been in her heart as she's been writing these articles and seeing God use the word to change other people. So would you welcome my wife, Carolyn, real quickly?
Good morning. This article that I wrote in this magazine on how to make sure your kids go to heaven has really been on my heart because it's important. I mean, what Mindy and Cody do, like what you saw this weekend, are young kids that are now in a different age group that they're reaching, that are being filled with the Holy Spirit to take this generation. But we also have to start it at a very young age. So as parents, if they're not going to listen to you, I talk about discipline in here, what the Bible says, how to model godliness. They see you and are going to copy everything you do. So, I spoke in here of how you need to memorize scripture with your children. I've done that with Madeline. She's my oldest. So if she ever says anything about being scared, God has not given us a spirit of fear. We talk about, what he was talking about today, the blood of Jesus. It is so strong in our household how we take hold of the blood of Jesus. We love doctors. They're wonderful nurses. It's their job. But our number one thing is Jesus and healing. So I've made that clear to my kids that we go over Acts 10:38. In there, he heals all. There's not one person in the Bible that approached Jesus or needed Jesus to heal them, and he turned them away. So I focus on that with them. Discipline. I know nobody likes it. It's okay. It's important. Spank your kids if they need a spanking. Just letting you know, I gave the approval. That's right. So, because listen, if they aren't going to obey their father, their mother, or whoever's in their life, if it's grandparents that happen to be their guardian, they won't obey someone they can't see. So that's also important. So I talk about that in this article. Every article is different. Sometimes it's not always geared towards women. It's geared towards everyone. I'm really excited already for the next one. I'm working on this thing with weak Christians. It's really aggravating me. So I'll wait on that. But anyway, let's just say if, you want to live like a part-time Christian, you're going to get part-time results. So we'll leave it at that. All right, I'll let him take over now.
Praise the Lord. I love my wife. She's an anointed woman of God. She's a blessing to me. I can promise you that. If you'd like to get this magazine, of course, we have copies on the table you can take home with you today. But also, if you'd like to receive it every month, absolutely every quarter, I should say, absolutely free, two things you can do. Either you can fill out a card on the table or on your phone, you can go to miracleword.com. /magazine and sign up absolutely free. We'll send it to you. Happy to do it. One of the things that I want to say is we mention and put pictures and testimonies of miracles in the magazine. The reason we do that is because we want people to know and expect miracles are still happening today. This is not just something that happened in the 1800s. Thank God for Smith Wigglesworth. He's dead and gone and in heaven praising God. And listen, thank God for his ministry, but God's still working today. Thank God for John G. Lake and Amy Semple McPherson and A.A. Allen and Oral Roberts. They're in heaven. But the miracle power of God has not left the earth. And if you need a touch in your body, there's one for you today. We had a girl, I'll say this before we go to Exodus chapter 11. We had a girl come into one of our meetings in Massachusetts. Her name was Gabby. If you were in the first service, I shared her story. That she was allergic to over 35 things. Couldn't hardly eat any foods. I mean, every berry, every nut, dairy, everything. She couldn't eat anything without having an allergic reaction. Doctors had her on all kind of medications. And she came in, she was only 5 years old, came into our meeting. Her mother brought her for prayer. We laid hands on Gabby. And when the power of the Holy Ghost touched her, he healed her immediately. They took her back to the hospital, and the doctors didn't want to believe that she was healed of all these allergies. So they kept little Gabby in the hospital for hours and hours and hours. Her mother came back, told us they made her take 38 shots in her back to try to trigger these allergies, and not one of them would trigger. They still wouldn't believe that she was healed, so they kept her in the doctor's office and kept feeding her spoonfuls of peanut butter to try to get something to react. After hours of eating peanut butter, which I don't know how anyone can do that, hours of peanut butter, she had no reactions. Every allergy had left her body because the power of the Holy Ghost had made her whole. Can you say amen? There's something about the blood of Jesus, as we were singing moments ago. It destroys every yoke of bondage that may be in your life. That's why our lives should not look the same as somebody who doesn't have a redeemer. We should look different than people who don't have a redeemer. Do you know what the word redeem means, or redemption? It means that you have purchased something. And when you've been purchased by the blood of Jesus, then he now owns you, which means he took you out of an old way of living and planted you in a new way of living. And when you get planted on his side of living, sickness doesn't live over here. Poverty doesn't live over here. Depression doesn't live over here. He bought you out of that and brought you into something else. That's why I tell people, if the devil was ever able to lie to your mind and tell you, as he's doing with many in this generation, that you're worthless, that your life is worth nothing, be just as well to take your own life, commit suicide, take the easy way out. Many people are having those thoughts, and they come to the altar. You know, Pastor, I was so tired of seeing young people come to the altar and have their hands raised crying, and I look at their forearms, and there's cut marks from the wrist to the elbow. Because they sit alone in a room and cut themselves as they have this impression that they're worthless. They're just trying to feel something. Because the devil has lied to their mind and told them, you might as well just take your life. Nobody'd even notice if you were gone. And maybe if we didn't have the scripture, the devil could lie to us and tell us that we're worthless. Has anybody ever gone to a store, you've gone to TJ Maxx or Target, and you bought something, and you went home, and you've got the receipt, but you decided after Easter Sunday, and you wore it one time, that you wanted to return it. And so you said, you know what? I'm going to take this back to the store. So you go back into the store, and if you've lost the receipt, then when you go to returns and you say, hey, I'd like to return this shirt. And they say, oh, well, listen, here's the issue. The shirt's gone on sale. It was $29.99, but now it's only $19.99. So we can only give you back $19.99. If you don't have the receipt, you can argue about the value. But when you have the receipt, they can't argue with you about how much it's worth. because you can pull the receipt out and see, it didn't say $19.99. It didn't say $0 worth. It said $29.99. I want back my $29.99. If there's ever an absence of a receipt, then you can argue about the value. And when the devil comes to you and says you're not worth anything, maybe we could agree or believe that if we didn't have the receipt to know how much he paid for your life. But when he shed his priceless blood on the cross of Calvary, it was not worthless, it was priceless. So today, the devil can't lie to you and tell you you're worthless. If he tries to, pull out the receipt and say, devil, I'm not worthless, I'm priceless because Jesus' blood was shed for me. Somebody shout amen. Somebody say his blood. It's a receipt. Hallelujah. That proves what I'm worth, what you're worth. And the blood of Jesus is a powerful thing. But let me show you how this started back in Exodus 11. The Israelites are getting ready to leave bondage in Egypt. So God gives them some instruction. Notice what he says in Exodus 11 and verse 4. Moses said to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the maidservant who's behind the handmill. And all the firstborn of even the animals. And there shall be a great cry in the land of Egypt, such as never been heard, and nor shall ever be again. Now look at this. This is your story, verse number 7. But against any of the Israelites, there won't be as much as a dog moving his tongue against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord makes a distinction, hallelujah, between the Egyptians and Israel. You have to understand, when the death angel came down from heaven, that wasn't the devil moving through Egypt. God said, I will send a death angel. And when the death angel came down and started walking through the city, it was God who was destroying his enemies so that his people could be free. And the thing you need to realize is this is just as true today as it was all those thousands of years ago. That there might be things that try to destroy your life and keep you in bondage, but there's still a supernatural force from heaven that is sent down to you that will destroy every wicked thing that tries to touch your mind, your body, or your children. It is the power of the Holy Ghost. And when he comes into your life, every evil thing that has set itself against you is destroyed by his fire. Somebody shout amen. When he came down, he began to walk through the city. And you know the story. The Bible said God spoke to them and said, take a spotless lamb. Slaughter it, sacrifice it. Take the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorpost of your home. And so they painted the door with the blood of the lamb. And when the death angel came walking through the city, the Bible says he saw the blood. And wherever he saw the blood, he had to pass over that house. Do you know they still celebrate this today? Thousands of years later, the Jews still celebrate the Passover every single year. Because God said to Moses, this is something I'm doing right now that will never be forgotten, that will not go out of style, that will not go out of time. You'll remember it for the rest of your life. Your kids and your kids' kids and your kids' kids' kids and your kids' 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 kids will remember what I did on this one day. Because I'm the God that delivers you. I'm the God that brings you out. I'm the God that heals you. I'm the God that sets you free. I'm the God that lifts you out of bondage. I'm the God that brings you out of prison. And the angel came strolling through the city with the power to destroy. And the Bible says, when he saw the blood, he said, I'm going to touch this house, this house, this house, but not this one. Not this one. and then this one, this one, this one. If you were in the first service, you heard me say, I am by no means a Hebrew scholar. My level of education, just to give you an idea, I was homeschooled in West Virginia. If that tells you anything about it. I was able to spell my last name by about seventh grade. And it was when, no, I'm kidding. It was sixth grade. Anyway. But I have spoken to some Hebrew scholars. They told me something that so stirred me up in my spirit. I had never seen this. I wouldn't have known it. They said, you know, if you study the Hebrew, ancient Hebrew language, they said, you'll see the alphabet. And when you look through the alphabet, it's not like our alphabet. They have letters, but that's not the end of it. Every letter has also associated with it words, meanings, definitions, or a word picture. And so if you've ever seen a Jewish person who wears a necklace and they wear that one letter of the Hebrew alphabet on the necklace, it looks like a box, a square with no bottom. It's just the sides and the top with a little curly thing on the side. That is the eighth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And I think I can get this right. It's the letter chet. Get that? It's like hate with a hairball in your throat. Chet. That's what I told him. And so I never knew anything about this. But they told me, he said, if you were to look at this letter, it also has a word picture behind it. It also has a meaning or a definition. And this eighth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, that it also, it means, if you study it, it means life and new beginnings. Life, that's why they wear it on a necklace. It's a sign of life. We're in life, new beginnings. And so when the angel, think about this, they took the blood and painted the doorpost of the home. Do you see what they were doing? They may not have even known it. But as they were painting it, they were actually drawing the letter on their door that said life and new beginnings. They were getting ready to come out of bondage. They were getting ready to go into the promised land. But as that angel came through the town, when he came to one of their homes where he saw the blood on the door, you know what he really saw? He saw life. He saw new beginnings. I can't bring death into a house where God has said there's life. I can't bring death into a house where God said there's life. I can't bring death. To this day, the devil cannot bring death into a house where God said there's life. I'm talking about you today, that there's no evil force of sickness, disease, or attack that can come into a house and dominate where God said there's life. Somebody shout amen. And this really stirs me up, because notice that when the angel saw the blood, there's no animal on the earth that you can sacrifice, take their blood, and then supernatural forces have to stand back because some animal's blood's on the ground or on the door. It's just an animal. There's nothing special about it. The thing that was special was that God told him to do it. And if God told him to do it, it was not just the blood that kept the death angel back. When he looked at the blood, he saw the word of God. Because it was God's word that put the blood there on the door. I feel the Holy Ghost in here today. When the devil comes to your house to try to bring an attack, the word of God that is on the door of your home creates a supernatural barrier that surrounds your house. Let me ask you, what devil thinks that he's going to come where God said there's life, where God said there's healing and health, where God said there's blessing and prosperity? What little demon thinks it's going to come shake its bony finger at God and say, I know you said there's going to be life, I know you said there's going to be healing, but I'm going to make sure there's death and destruction? Who do you think you're talking to? Who do you think you're looking at? I'm not just some other supernatural force. I'm the creator of heaven and earth. I'm the king of kings. I'm the Lord of lords. Who does the devil think he's messing with? The devil thought he had it all figured out at the beginning of time. I will make myself like the Most High. I will ascend to the throne. I'll sit on the throne. God said, you won't. Pow. And hit him so hard, I mean, smack the fire out of him. Now listen, I've seen fights, I've been in fights, I've won fights, I've lost fights, and I've hit some people, and I've been hit. I've seen other people hit, but I ain't never seen anybody fall like lightning. He said, God smacked him so hard, the prophet had to write in the Old Testament, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. I've gone on YouTube. I've watched all of Mike Tyson's highlights, George Foreman's highlights, Muhammad Ali's highlights, Joe Frazier, all these guys. They hit some pretty hard hits, but nobody fell like lightning. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That should show you that when the devil sticks his ugly head up against your family and against your house, the force with which the Holy Ghost smacks him back into place and said, not in this house, not in this life, not in these children, because my blood is on their door. My word surrounds their house. You've got no issue to come in, no right to touch their stuff. I have set a barrier. Everybody say the blood barrier. There's a blood barrier around your house. Can I tell you something? Even before Jesus shed his blood, God had such power, even in the most bare bones of covenants with men. Go all the way back, even before Moses got the law. Bare bones covenant, Adamic covenant, Adam's covenant with God. Before there was any kind of special setup to bring redemption to men, the Bible said there was a man named Job, and Job was perfect and upright before God. And the Bible says that the devil went up into heaven, and God was so proud of his man, his covenant man. He said, have you taken a look at my servant Job? The devil said, have I looked at him? I've tried to kill him, but I can't touch him because you put a hedge of protection around him. Can I tell you? This was before the blood of Jesus. This was before the Noahic, the Mosaic, any of the other covenants, the Davidic covenant. This was before any of that. Job was living in a bare bones covenant with God. And even back then, before anything special had taken place, God loved his people so much that he set up a hedge of protection around them and said, devil, you got no power to break through the wall. But I read a scripture in the New Testament that said we have a better covenant established on better promises. I'm not living in an Adamic covenant, Noahic, Mosaic, Davidic. I got a Jesus Christ covenant. His blood is on my house. His blood is in my body. You ever get this? If he's your brother and God's your father, their DNA is in your body. That was a weak clap. Because let me tell you something. It means more than you think it means. Let me explain it to you. I'll break it down. I told this in the first service, but I'm going to go further with it in this service. In reproduction, everything reproduces after its own kind. You'll never plant an apple tree and have oranges grow on the branches, ever. Strawberry plants will not produce tomatoes, ever, because a seed reproduces after its own kind, always. When two dogs get together, puppies are coming out. Cats get together, you got 12 kittens by the heater in your house when you get home. Two giraffes get together, giraffes are coming out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Zebras produce zebras. Let's go a little further. Humans always produce other humans because every seed reproduces after its own kind. But as many as believed on his name, to them gave he power to become sons of God. When God has a child. I said, when God has a child, please hear me, it's not human anymore. In 6 days, God created every living being you'll ever see. Everyone. But did you know God did not finish creation totally after 6 days? He reserved one creation for thousands of years later. It was called the new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. One creation got saved for later because it could not be created until Jesus shed his blood and produced an avenue that human beings could be redeemed by the blood of Jesus, come through that washing process and move from death unto life, move from sickness unto health, move from curse unto blessing. There's a new creation reality that's on the inside of you. Paul, the apostle, said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, yet I'm still alive. But it's not me. It is Christ living in me. Get this. I read that scripture in one translation. You know what it said? Paul said this. In my new existence, it is merely Jesus using my body. Oh, my goodness. So when you start to see heavenly DNA has been transferred into your body, what does that mean? Let me ask you a question. Every creation we see, God spoke it out of his mouth, right? Let there be light, stars, moon, plants, animals. They came out of his mouth and became living things, except for one. He said when it was time to make man, he formed man with his own hands from the dust of the earth. He took the dirt, took the dust, took the clay, and formed a human being. You know what he said? Let us make man in our image. From the beginning, he was making you like him. You're not an animal. You're not a spotted owl. You're not a whale. You're not some bird that's on the endangered species list. Can I show you why this is so anti-Christ agenda spirit? Because the devil's thinking in this world, he'd rather get people more focused on saving a spotted owl or a whale or a silverback gorilla than a baby in a womb. You know why? Because the spotted owl is not the image of God. A silverback gorilla is not the image of God. A whale is not the image of God. But every baby inside the belly is the image of God. And Satan wants to kill the image. Turn this microphone up a little bit. This is my 25th service in 20 days. I'm telling you something. The devil hates the image of God. Do you know why he hates you whether you're sinner or saved today? Because everything he wanted to be, you are. He said, I will be like the Most High God. I will sit on a throne. I'll ascend above the heavens. God said, you won't, but let us make man in our image. And in our likeness. Just to rub it in the devil's face. Say, all the stuff you wanted to be, I'm going to create somebody I'll be in covenant with, and I'll make them like me, and you'll just have to sit back and watch as millions of them walk around the earth. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. But when God formed Adam with his own hands, he was not done creating. He had one step left. You know what he did to bring Adam to life? Brought his face down out of heaven. Put his mouth down by Adam's mouth that he formed. And blew the breath of life into that dirt and dust, and he became a living being. I'm gonna show you something. When the breath of God came out of God's mouth and into Adam's formed body, that was the Holy Ghost. Anybody you study will tell you the breath of God always speaks of the Holy Spirit. He blew the Holy Spirit into Adam, and Adam became a living being. Do you know why? Because the Holy Spirit is always a life-giving force. Always. Always. Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost, wasn't he? Got filled when he was baptized by John. Do you know what he said to Mary and Martha when he went to raise Lazarus from the dead? He said, don't you believe your brother will rise again? They said, oh, yes. They get very religious. Oh, yes, hallelujah. In the last day, in the resurrection, their problem was they thought the resurrection was a day on the calendar. But the resurrection's not a day, it's a man. And Jesus said, don't you know who you're looking at today? I am the resurrection and I am the life. You know why he was? Because he was full to the brim with the life-giving force of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says that a man who was the resurrection showed up on the scene. And when he came, dead stuff had to start coming back to life. The Bible says this, he breathed into Adam the Holy Ghost, and it brought that dirt to life. Later down the road, Jesus himself was dead in a tomb for 3 days. And the Bible says, let's go back before that. Mary, who had never been with a man in her life, was in her own place. He said, you're blessed among women because you believe the report. You know what the Bible says? That the Holy Spirit brooded over her. And she became impregnated with the seed from heaven. He gave her life when she hadn't been in contact with a man. Oh, hallelujah. Then Jesus' dead body in a tomb. The Holy Ghost drifts right into the tomb. And the same breath that was blown into Adam's mouth was blown into Jesus. After 3 days of being dead, get back up. Jesus sat up, took a breath, and walked through the walls. Because a life-giving force just came into the tomb and shook him back to life. Then the Bible goes on to say, Paul taught the Romans, if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he shall quicken your mortal body. He will make alive your body. Why? Because you just passed from death unto life. You went from being a regular human who has to sit there and be subjected to the laws of the world. That if it's time for the economy to go down, my finances go down. If diseases are sweeping through the nation and the schools and the workplaces, I'm going to catch the thing because I'm just a human like everybody else. I was flying one time and I'm watching all these things. As this scare came through America and they had all these diseases sweeping from other nations, people are flying in airports with surgical masks on their mouth, looking like Michael Jackson on a bad day, and they're worried they're going to catch a disease, or they're afraid of the germs that might be sweeping through the air. Let me tell you, I'm not afraid of the germs, the diseases, or the viruses. They should be afraid of me, because I got something on the inside of my body that will cause every virus to be destroyed, every germ destroyed, every sickness destroyed, every disease destroyed. It's the fire of the Holy Ghost. Please. We have such a small view of the God in us. Like we're struggling to stay alive. Give me a break. I said, give me a break. Well, brother, it's a dangerous world out there. For who? Not me. Amen. Think I'm afraid to go to a third world country? I've been in bad places. You think I go with 17 bodyguards? I don't. You think I go into a doctor's office and take shots so that I don't catch whatever disease? I don't. I don't need a shot. I already got one. I got filled up with a shot from heaven. That is the life-giving force of the Holy Ghost. What disease is going to shake its finger in the face of the Holy Ghost and say, no, I'm going to invade his body and make him sick and kill him? If I die of a disease, I'll have a serious talk with a guardian angel in heaven. Amen. What were you doing? It'll never happen. I said it'll never happen. You hear me say what I'm telling you today. You'll never hear that me, my wife, or any one of my kids will die of a sickness, disease, or an accident. If you do, tear your Bible. Thanks for the shouts. If it'll never happen. I said, it will never happen. I've got a force on the inside of me. She's got a force on the inside of her. My kids have a force on the inside of them. I want to be so full of the Holy Ghost that if a mosquito were to bite me, it would fly away singing, there's power in the blood. I want to have the fire of God. Somebody shout amen. Please. Well, there's diseases, sicknesses. So what? Was Jesus ever sick? Then why should I have to be sick? Was he my example or not? I said, was he my example? If he wasn't sick, why do I have to be sick? If the same spirit that raised him from the dead is in my body, what business do I have being sick? No business. Somebody shout, no business. I know this is strong preaching, but listen, any preaching that takes the responsibility off of you and puts it on God is an irresponsible faith. Somebody shout amen. We've got to get real about this again. America has gotten way soft. Way soft. What if you lived in a nation that doesn't have hospitals? What if you lived in a place where you can't run to CVS, Walmart, or somewhere else and get a prescription filled? That's what I hear people come to me. They don't even know what they're talking about. Well, you go to some of these nations, and it seems like miracles just really happen there so easily. You know why? Because they know if they don't get one, they're dead. There's nobody they can visit. Nobody in a white lab coat can write them out a prescription and give them a pill to take. There ain't any there. There's no Walmarts in the middle of the jungle in Nigeria. When you go to a place where people have to live by faith, it's either God or the grave. And in America, we've allowed ourselves to fall back on the arm of man, but Jeremiah wrote it clear. Cursed is every man who puts his trust in the arm of the flesh. What are you going to do when you come in and confront something that doctors have no answer for? What are you going to do if the enemy tries to come against you and put something on you that there's no cure for? You better have a power in you that's bigger than the power that's come against you. I said, there better be a power in you. See, we're anointed to harass the devil. I'm like a Holy Ghost assassin. I'm a Holy Ghost terrorist. I find the kingdom of God, I tear it apart. And I don't care what people think about it. People say, well, brother, I don't know if that's really truly love. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ himself would not have been invited to most churches in America. He's a little rough, to be honest with you. Forming his own whips on the church stairs and driving people out the back. Psh, get out. It is the fire of the Holy Ghost we need. As I come to a close and get ready to pray for you, let me say this, that the anointing that's on the inside of you has been placed there for a purpose. Everybody wants the abundant life of Christ. John 10:10, the Bible says that the thief has come to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come, Jesus said, to give you life and that more abundantly. There's nobody that doesn't want the abundant life. We want it. But the other side of the coin that nobody wants to talk about is that if you got abundant life from Jesus, the way he gave it to you is by first removing the thing that was holding back abundant life. If it was sin, he had to first break the power of sin. By sickness holding on to you, he removed the power of sickness and destroyed it so that you could walk in abundant life in your health. If it was lack and poverty, he destroyed it on the cross and gave you a way to overcome it through his word, so that every force of spirit of poverty and lack, because it's a spiritual thing, it's not a natural thing. That's why Jesus had to defeat it. It's spiritual, not natural. And the Bible says he destroyed it on the cross. 1 John 3:8 is the other side of the John 10:10 coin. The Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. I want to encourage you today and tell you, whatever the enemy has used to attack your life, it will be destroyed by the power of the Holy Ghost. I said it will be destroyed by the power of the Holy Ghost. It will be destroyed. What business do cancer cells have living in a body that's filled with a life-giving force? What business does type 2 diabetes have living in a body filled with a life-giving force? What business does arthritis and glaucoma and high blood pressure have living in a body that's filled with the life-giving force of the Holy Ghost? I'll finish by telling you this. You can put your Bibles down, but there's a reason why the psalmist said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." Because you know as well as I do, if you collect coins or stamps or anything like that, any people that collect those things that are small, they have magnifying glasses so that they can inspect the coin, inspect the stamp. But you know as well as I do, when you're magnifying the coin, magnifying the stamp, it doesn't make the coin or stamp bigger. It makes your view of it bigger. And the problem is, we don't understand that when the psalmist said, magnify the Lord with me, he wasn't telling you to make God bigger. He's saying, when you do what I'm telling you to do, your view of him will be much bigger. And we've had the issue of having a big devil view and a little God view. So we just look at the problems and the waves and the storms that are crashing in life, and we miss looking at the master, who's the master of every disaster, master of every storm, master of every sickness, master of every disease. There's nothing that can destroy him. There's nothing that can defeat him. There's nothing that can stop him. He's unstoppable. He's immovable. He's immeasurable. He's so big, the devil doesn't have the resources to handle the power of God. So the psalmist said, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. When you magnify the Lord, you see him in ways you've never seen him before. In the Old Testament, I want the musicians to come back. We're getting ready to pray. In the Old Testament, that's the reason one name wasn't enough for God. He's too much for one name. I said, too much for one name. They couldn't call him Jehovah because he kept showing them a different aspect of himself. When they thought he was just the Most High God and they started getting sick, he said, no, I'm the God that heals you. They said, oh, he's Jehovah Rapha. When they thought they weren't going to have enough and Abraham's on top of the mountain, didn't have a sacrifice, he said, here's a ram in the thicket. He said, oh my goodness, he's also Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. When they thought that attack against their mind, fear, anxiety, and panic was going to overtake their lives, he floated down and said, hold on a second, I'm also Jehovah Shalom, the God of your peace. One name wasn't enough for him. He was too much for one name. That's why in Deuteronomy 28, as you stand on your feet, in Deuteronomy 28, God's promise to Israel was this. He said, your enemies will come out against you in one way, but they'll flee in seven ways. Some people don't understand how powerful that is. They say, well, why? Why would they flee in seven ways? Here's why. Because when your enemies are coming against you, no matter what their purpose is, they're all coming from one direction. Everyone that's coming to make you sick is coming from this direction. Everyone that's coming to bring depression comes from this direction. Everybody that comes to steal your finances comes from this direction. Everybody that comes to steal your righteousness comes from this direction. But when they come to the Lord your God, who's fighting on your behalf, he has a different personality trait for every enemy that's coming. Come, Pastor. So here comes your sickness that's come to destroy you. But guess what? Turn around one time. Now he just showed them Jehovah Rapha. Send me this way. Push me that way. Jehovah Rapha just sent your sicknesses in one direction. Here comes your depression, anxiety, and fear. Spin around. Here's Jehovah Shalom, the God of your peace. He sent those enemies in this direction. Here comes all the temptation to sin, fall back into an old way of living. Here's Jehovah Sitkanu, the God of your righteousness, sends me back in another direction. Wait, devil's coming to mess with your finances. Jehovah Jireh sends him in another direction. And by the time God is done, the seven redemptive names of God have sent your enemy that came from one direction in seven directions, and they've got to flee from you because God is too much God for one name. Hey! Somebody shout, he's too much God. Say, he's too much God. Oh, hallelujah. Here's what I want to say. With every head bowed and every eye closed, there may be people in this church this morning, and we love you, but you know that if Jesus came back today, you couldn't even look him in the eye because there's sin in your life that's holding you back from serving the Most High God. If you're in this church today and you say, you know, that's me, I know that if the rapture took place today, I wouldn't be ready to go. I have things that are in my life chaining me up, holding me back. I want to be free before I leave this church. Listen, we're going to pray with you. Don't wait for another moment to be right with God. Let today be your day of salvation. If that's you, you say, that's me, preacher, I want to pray with you. I want to know I'm ready to see heaven. I want to know that my life is right before God. Right where you're standing, lift your hand and hold it high. And I'm going to pray with you. I see it there, 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 there. Over here, 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 here. Over here, back there. Back over here, back in the back. Take one more step of faith. If you lifted that hand, who cares what anybody thinks? Get out of your seat and come to this altar and let's pray. Come on, come on, come on. Move quick. Come on. Come to the altar. Come to the altar. Come. Come. Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. Come on, come on. If you lifted a hand, get out of your seat and come. If you were standing next to someone that lifted their hand, tell them you'll come down with them. Don't be ashamed. Who cares what somebody might think of you? The question is, what does God think of you? What does Jesus think of you? With every head bowed, if you're still in your seat, but you know you need to be at God's altar, come quickly. Don't miss your moment. Don't miss your opportunity to make all things new. The Bible says that when you pray the prayer we're about to pray, all things are made new. All things are made new. As I preached a moment ago, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Come on, press in close. If you're coming down to the altar, come on in. Come on in. We're going to pray for every one of you. Thank you, Jesus. Give you just one more moment. If there's even one more person, you're still in your seat. The Holy Spirit's tugging at your heart. You know you need to be at God's altar. Get out of your seat and come quickly. And don't wait for another moment. Don't wait for another opportunity. Jesus is calling. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to lead you in a prayer today. I want you to repeat this with me with a bold voice, a loud voice. Let the Lord know you mean business. You're never going back. Pray this with me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for sending your son to die for me. And I ask you now, forgive me of my sin. Make me new. Give me the power to live for you for the rest of my life until I die or until you come. Thank you, Lord, that I'm free today. Now say this. Say, devil, I'm done with you. Never going back into an old way of living. Never again. I'm done with all the problems, all the bondage, all the prisons. I'll never go back. I belong to Jesus. Now lift your hands and thank the Lord that it's done. Come on, thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Now in just a moment, we're going to give you instruction. But I want to pray one more prayer. Whether you're still at the altar now and God's touching people here, I'm going to pray that God fills you with the Holy Spirit. But those of you that are still in your seat, you say, you know what? I need prayer because the enemy has been working to harass my life. whether it be with sickness and disease, depression, anxiety, poverty and lack. You've been held up in grave clothes after you've been saved and haven't been able to get free of addictions, sins that have plagued you. You're tired of repenting for the same sins over and over and over. It's time to get free. If you know that's you, I'm not going to ask you to move. I'm going to pray for you right where you are. But if you need a touch from God today, you're asking God to relieve you from every harassing force. I want you to lift your hand where you're standing in your seat. And I'm going to pray a prayer of deliverance. You say, well, Brother Ted, aren't you going to lay hands on me? I believe God can send the word and heal you. The Bible said in Psalm 107 and verse 20, He sent His word and it healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. So bow your head and let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every evil work of the devil that's been sent to harass God's people. I declare today is their day of victory in Jesus' name. I rebuke sickness. I rebuke disease. I rebuke addiction. I rebuke every spirit of lack and poverty. I command depression to lift off of your mind. Anxiety, lift off of your mind in Jesus' name. Be free in Jesus' mighty name. Now lift your hands and shout unto the Lord because it's done. In Jesus' name. Oh, be filled with the power of God. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Filled with the power of God. Lord, we love you. Jesus, we praise you. Filled with the power of God. Filled fresh and new with the mighty power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Would you lift those hands? Would you thank the Lord? Somebody welcome them to the family of God as Pastor Spencer comes to give some instruction.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If today was the very first time you've given your heart to Jesus or you don't have a Bible, I'd like you to make your way right over here. See this young lady with her hand raised. Her name is Mindy. I'd like you to make your way right over to her now. If you're rededicating your life, I just want to say I'm so proud of you. But today's the very first day you don't have a Bible. I want you to make your way. If it's your first day, even if you have a Bible, I want you to make your way right over to Mindy right now. Just make your way right now. Move your way right now. Go find Mindy right there. She's right there. Mindy, raise your hand one more time. If you gave your heart to Jesus, it's really easy. Here we go. Make your way to Mindy right now. There you go. Make your way. Everybody walk right over to Mindy. Mindy, raise your hand. Raise your hand. There she is. She's got that bun on her head. One of the great things not only is being able to hear the word, but sowing into the word. And I love that this house, you love to sow. And today, we want to sow into Brother Shuttlesworth. Amen. I don't know about you. I love and find fertile ground. How many of you remember a few years ago, we preached the year of the seed? Kingdom seed. How many of you remember that I gave out a corn kernel? A lady brought a whole ear back that grew from that corn. I've been holding that ear, drying it out. And in the next 3 months, I'm going to give all those who are willing to take that seed, second generation seed, and plant it to bring a new crop. But you see, every seed produces a harvest. And today, we have an opportunity to sow into Brother Ted Shuttlesworth. Amen? What phenomenal seed, what phenomenal ground that I know will bring you harvest. My wife and I love sowing into this family because I know it's going to bring forth a harvest in our lives. So this is what I want you to do. The ushers are passing out envelopes. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit how much to give. And don't just give with saying, well, I'm going to put money in the plate. Give this way. Father, I'm giving a seed for this harvest. I want this type of harvest in my life. Whether it be finances, for every seed gives its like kind. Whether it be finances, whether it be health, whether it be wealth, whatever it is, you sow in that realm with an understanding. Can I hear an amen? So bow your head. Let's ask the Holy Spirit what to give. Spirit of God, I thank you that you know exactly what seed you would have us give for the harvest we need in our next season. Lord, we're not planting just a little bit of money in the plate. God, we're planting for our next season. And Holy Spirit, you know how much we need for the next season. So speak to us clearly what kind of seed needs to be planted. And Lord, we'll just simply obey whatever you tell us to do for the glory of God. We thank you for Brother Shuttlesworth. We thank you for his family. And Lord, as he leaves this place and goes and ministers to the next location, great outpouring in Atlanta for the glory of God. Bring in thousands and thousands of souls for heaven in Jesus' name. And as he comes back, God, for Rock the City, we pray, Lord, we'll be ready and that this area will be ready for the glory of heaven to be released. Miracles, signs, and wonders, salvation, deliverance for Jesus' name and glory. And everybody said, amen. The offering plates are right at the front. Come and give your seed to the Lord. We love you. Have an awesome day. Serve Jesus with all of your heart.